Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure. I can go on and on. You get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game, turn it into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know I sent you. Let's start the show.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damashek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal comes in on Monday morning. Spaghetti and meatballs, yeah, they're here. They're fiddling with the knobs as always. Babyface Joel Solomon. We got Scott the Grizz producing this mess, yes. And joining me as always, my dear pals, Dave Damashek, Martin Weiss, and soon to be joined by John Hamm, I think, legendary actor John Hamm. I'm going to keep promoting him until he shows up, but I actually think he is zooming in at the bottom of the hour or the top of the hour, whatever it may be. That's exciting, Shaq, right?
Can't hurt to just do it at the top of every show. Yeah. You know, it's not like it's going to repel audience if that's the promise you make. But yes, very exciting. I can tell you're excited, Sal, because you were high-pitched there for about 90% of that whole intro. Oh. Like, babyface, Joel! Like, you must have had some weekend wagering and beyond.
I did. I got very, very lucky this weekend, I have to say. I mean, there was some stupid stuff like Friday night, the hockey game. I keep betting that Calgary series to go under. And of course, it went under last night when I stayed away. But but the golf, I got lucky with Justin Thomas. I don't want to go over that. Man City was insane. They were like 40-1 to come back after they were down 2-0 in regulation. I needed them tied to a lot of stuff. But that was exciting. John Hamm, obviously a big Blues fan. They're down 2-1. We're going to ask him about that. Shaq, also, he holds the right to kick one of us out. Probably me or you. I think he would think that was funniest. Late August. I think he goes for the, yeah, I think that's the way he's going to go with this. Obviously, we'll ask him and I'm sure he won't divulge, but maybe we can get a little heads up.
Well, his primary consigliere, Tall John, of course, is in his ear trying to help him along.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
To kick out. You know, yeah, I think you're right. I think, maybe some sports guy talk will be the buzz that might be a fun.
That'll be fun, too.
Well.
Yeah, how many people total are in this league?
How many? So there's 11 teams, and so only 10 can play. So whoever was voted out or kicked out comes back the next year, and then someone else gets kicked out. So why, Martin? You have insight. Are you trying to figure out? You're trying to formulate there?
Oh, no. I mean, I've heard, from prior to my Extra Points life, I've heard rumors and rumblings about this league and how people are getting kicked out for years and years. I'm just trying to, for the newer listeners who may not be aware of this league, I want to let them know.
That's smart.
It's a fantasy league. It rotates. You guys go to Shakey's.
Setting cool. The table. It'd be funny if there were only three of us in the league and one got kicked out every year.
See, that's what I wanted to know. See, yeah. I didn't know. How deep are the stakes?
Yeah. Well, the stakes are high. The stakes also high in our prop quiz. We do it every week. Lots of action, baseball, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. And Tim Ngork won with 7 out of 10. Good job by you. Is that how you pronounce that name? N-G-O-R-K? I don't want to offend him or anyone else.
Tim Ngork.
Yeah, Tim Ngork. 7 out of 10 prop quiz. He gets the golden cap. So that's very exciting. We're going to cover NBA, NHL. We're going to have our play of the day. We'll talk PGA. We're going to hop on the riverboat. And, of course, as I said, John Hamm will be joining us. But let's get to the NBA. Recapping last night's game. The Warriors won 109-100. The games are getting closer. They're inside 10 now, Martin. We had a 6-point game Saturday and a 9-point game Sunday. I'm going to bottom line it. One of the teams was 13 for 45 from three, and the other team won. And the other team wasn't that good from three either, the Warriors. 24 for 76, Martin. I don't know. I'm an old curmudgeon, but I can't take it anymore. It's a three-point shooting contest.
It is absolutely a three-point shooting contest, but so, I do hope that eventually there's going to be some revert back. There has to be, because I feel like if you just look at the last, what, 15 results, how many of them have been over 10-point blowout? Or not 10, over 10 points? At least, what, 13?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm the NBA, legitimately, I'm looking at, like, short, like making the lane smaller. Or doing something to incentivize guys going to the rim. Because right now, the whole reason why is just, you know, that's why Dallas is in the Western Conference Finals. Because when they hit their threes, they win games, you know. But I just know this. Mark Gunnels is somewhere smiling the biggest smile he possibly could
why?
Be. As the biggest Andrew Wiggins fan I have ever known. To see Andrew Wiggins put that dunk in on Luka. And you know what? The referee who called that an offensive foul, should not be able to call any other. Like, you're done. You're done. Have a seat. There's only like 10 games left in the season. We're done with you. We can come back next year.
Well, that, you know what, about that dunk specifically, and we get crazy about the reviews inside of 2 minutes, and then the last 2 minutes ends up being a half hour. But thank God for reviews, because they overturned that hideous call, which made an offensive foul on Wiggins. So that would have had a stink on it that would not have been able to be lifted for quite a while. Sheck, what are your thoughts? You know, I will say this. Kirk Goldsberry, we talked about stats. You say with the lane, change the dimensions of the lane. Kirk Goldsberry is like an NBA stat. Great NBA mind if you follow his stuff, and if you're a numbers guy. He said it's very simple. Just figure out how many threes you want made in the game and then move the arc back accordingly or forward. But you probably wouldn't move it forward if you think there's too many threes. But move it back, because there's enough data out there to show, okay, they make this percent from this distance. They make this percent from that distance. So work backwards, figure out how many. And then obviously if it's too far where it's not worth it to make it, teams won't take as many threes. I don't know, Sheck. I mean, are we just old men with this, or are we just getting a bad batch of games here?
Well, no, I do remember, you know, 25, 30 years ago that some old curmudgeons heralded the end of basketball as we know it because of the 3-point strike. Maybe it was delayed by a generation or two.
Bob Ryan has this take.
It does feel like the game's been diminished. But yes, let's not be prisoners of the moment. You can't just make massive alterations based on one postseason or one bum season. But yes, I agree with you about that. The question about moving it back, though, is then it would eliminate corner threes. You can barely put your foot down in, you can put your 12 and a halfs or whatever the average NBA basketball player is wearing. Wouldn't fit if you extended it out there. So you would really, it would be an oddball.
So you think move it sideways? Like move it sideways?
Well, I'm just saying it would be funny. Diagonally? Yeah, like it would be, well, it just would, like, it would end at, you know, I guess you would only be, like, on the wing would be as far in as you could get towards the baseline.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, but regarding
that's part of the reason why guys like Rudy Gobert get played off the court, though. Because they have to decide between that three at the rim or the layup at the rim or the corner three.
It's interesting. Maybe that would actually would help things. But I do have to say, a longstanding kind of hot take that I've had about Andrew Wiggins, and now it's come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
The LeBron Cavs would have beaten the Wiggins-less Warriors in his rookie season. Had the Cavaliers drafted Andrew Wiggins first overall, I said it at the time, that he would have been the athletic wing defender guy that they would have needed to slow them down enough. They could have won the title, and now they're in line to win a title with Andrew Wiggins are the Dubs.
I will say Steph Curry. Now there's talk, where does he end up in the annals of history? He's going to have a bunch of titles. It looks this way. By the way, the Warriors now -150 to win the title. This is the first time, Martin, they're a minus. They were even before last night. So we have a minus in the field. I don't know if there's value in there right now or wait till they play the Heat or the Celtics. What are they going to be, -180, -200? I'm not sure. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. But what do you think, first of all, on that?
I've thought that since the Eastern Conference semifinals that the champion was coming out of the Eastern Conference. Mm. And I still kind of hold true to that. And the Warriors keep getting hurt. I mean, Otto Porter gets hurt last night. Gary Payton II obviously is hurt. I'm just wondering how many guys they can run out there and and attempt to defend.
Well, the East doesn't look much better in terms of staying healthy. I mean, you got like five guys questionable today on that Heat game. We'll get to that. I do want your guys' thoughts on this. Steph Curry, just playing off that a little and how great he's going to be. I think, in a way, and again, old man curmudgeon, in a way, he ruined the game. His greatness may have ruined the game because all these kids are trying to be like him, and all the coaches are trying to go for threes when they could do two ball, even though it doesn't matter. You could see very early on if you're 3 for 24 that is not going to be your day from outside. But nobody adjusts. They said, we'll catch up. So is Steph Curry going to be like, I was thinking about it. Maybe it's like Jeff Bezos. He goes and rockets out to outer space and like, oh my God, everyone thinks this is cool. And now we have dozens and dozens of deaths because people are trying to do this and they don't have the means to do it, right? Could this be a similarity, or am I overstating what's going on here?
No, you're exactly right. You know, Lamar Jackson blew up all the notions of you can't really run the option in the NFL. That would be impossible. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham, one hand catch, that's an impossible catch. As soon as he does it, then everybody else like, oh, it's okay to do that in game. I'll show you what I can do now too. Yes, Steph Curry, I wouldn't say he's a victim of his success, but yes, he was the trailblazer. Not on the trailblazer.
No,
is probably number two in the regard from launch and from 30, 35 and beyond with that sort of thing. Yeah, it does kind of alter the possibilities. Once somebody shows you, you can do it that way in game, mm-hmm. then people are like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, I'm going to start launching from back there too. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The thing that fascinates me about Steph though is that when you look at Lamar Jackson, there's a couple other guys who you would look at and be like, oh, he can run it. Not maybe as good as Lamar, but similarly, you run similar offenses. Like Steph feels more like it's not one to one because Brady's had way more like actual career success in terms of championships. But the way that we grade quarterbacks now has forever been skewed because Tom Brady won so much, right? He's continued. He might win this year. Who knows, right? But he's won so much from an entire career. Now you look at a guy like Justin Herbert, who in his, you know, in his what, third year hasn't even made the playoffs, and you're like, well, you know, he can't be even, you know, he's not, there's nowhere near. Or conversely, you look at Patrick Mahomes, who wins a Super Bowl in his first couple of years and be like, oh, he's on the Brady track, which is an impossible track to be on, right? Mm-hmm. But like you see a guy like Steph, and as soon as you see anybody else who has the idea that they could pull like that, you want to see if he can. And that's the thing. But I think that it's kind of a singular, like Steph is Steph, and that's the reason why he can do what he does. And I don't see that. Boys. I just don't see the prolificness in other guys. Maybe Dame Lillard is a guy, but like their career success isn't there.
Steph is Steph, and that's why FanDuel, our friends at FanDuel, have him in minus 1500 to win Western Conference MVP, the Magic Johnson Award, as it's known now. I thought it'd be a lot tighter than that after the Wiggins game. My goodness. All right, minus 1500. Martin.
I think it's amazing, though. It's a great point you bring up. Dominance at a certain level then requires modifying of the rules. It's sort of like, I don't know if the kids know Mel Blunt's name at this point, but like,
yes,
was too physically dominant as a cornerback. Mm-hmm. And so the NFL was like, well, you know, we need scoring in this league. So they changed. So they have the Mel Blunt rule to diminish how much you can physically dominate a wide receiver, you know, within the 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's weird because there's rules and then there's like dimensions, right? So, okay, they've played with the ballpark, moved the fences back a little bit, but for the most part, it's about the same. Base paths are the same, even though like a ground ball to deep short is still not going to be beaten out by 90% of the runners, right? I don't think that's changed over the last 20, 40, 60 years. But changing the dimensions of a court at this point, I guess they did it to install the three-point line in the first place, so... it would be interesting either way. So I don't know. Handicapping these games is tough, Martin. It really is. By the way, would you bite on Mavs 31-1 to win this series? 31-1.
I mean, I've bet on them every game this series so far.
Yeah.
If there was ever a team to do it, it would be this one. Because if you go back and look, like we talked about it last week, they win. When they win by 20. When they lose by 20.
Right.
And why? It's because of the three-point variance. They haven't been much colder all postseason than they have the last three games. from three.
Dre would have to get thrown out, and he's dying to accomplish this.
Oh, he's trying so hard.
It is on his bucket list in the worst way. I mean, there are over the back calls. He's flying in, and the guy's ending up in the third row, and he's like complaining all the way back. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
I know, Sal. I know you're plugged in good with FanDuel. I go there. If I go there right now, I can see you probably with your hands folded in a nice picture with a nice bet boost. But can you talk to somebody at customer service? I want to bet on technical fouls.
Of course,
I want to bet on technical fouls. But on flagrants, I want some props out there because Draymond Green over half a technical. That's a bet every single day that I'm willing to make.
I know they're worried about regulating this shit, right? And so FanDuel and everybody, is that a call that, although, you know, like in soccer, you could bet on red cards and yellow cards and stuff like that, but is a specific player to get a technical foul something that they, I have a feeling they worry about that being manipulated somewhere along the line.
I think the only manipulation it has to be is if you bet over 1.5 and then he gets his technical foul in the first quarter and then you know he's going to be able to commit bloody murder for the rest of the three quarters.
Or he says, I'm going to behave myself today. And one of my buddies is going to collect on this. All right. So let's go to tonight's game. Boston now a healthy 207.5 versus Miami. By the way, this may have moved again because news came out that just about everybody, now it's still 7 now, but 206 though, it went down to lots of injuries. Tyler Herro's out. I have to see this now. Herro's out. Butler, questionable. Lowry, questionable. Max Strus, questionable. Gabe Vincent, PJ Tucker, all going to warm up with the intent to play. So here's the deal, Sheck. It's like, okay, as handicappers, Celtics absolutely have to win this game, right? I guess they can go down 3-1, but they have to win this game, back against the wall. All these guys are questionable, coming off a shitty performance. Why wouldn't we just take the Celtics here? Tell me why. I don't know which way to look at it. Although it's lame, but I'm taking Boston -9.5. I'm going the adjusted line. I'm getting like +125. And Sal the Cynic at it again. I just don't think we'll have a close game. I don't know why the basketball gods hate us so much, but they do. And I don't think we're going to have a close game here.
Yeah, and what you're kind of pointing to is where you expect the score to be, say, 5 minutes into the third period of this game. Because if the Celtics are up 10 or more then why are the Heat, if, in fact, Butler's down and Lowry's down, there's no chance of a rally here. Let's just play for tomorrow.
Right.
They'll just lay down and get blown out by 20. I think that's an interesting point you make there. I'm inclined, though, to go the other way.
Really?
I'm not saying that the Heat are going to win the game, but I'm looking for the middle at least. +7, I'll take the Heat. I think they're the superior team. And by the way, just to quickly, when you cover title odds, I still kind of like the Heat because – I get where the game's going. Nobody has a center. That's been the talking point for 2-3 weeks at least, that you don't need a center in the NBA. We've obviously perpetuated that here. But when you have one, like the Heat have in Bam, isn't that potentially the difference in this series and then against the Dubs in the finals? So I think the Heat are maybe the best team. We just don't know about it. I mean, I know people don't like to lay this bare. But the Miami Heat are the most sort of anonymous good team out there in sport right now.
Blue collar team play, all that you want in basketball, pretty much, right? They everything against what I'm saying. You don't have to change the dimensions of the court for them to be good, right? I will say, Sheck, if you like them at +330, well, you like them +7. If you think they're going to lose tonight, you'll get a better price if you wait till tomorrow morning. Or late tonight, if you're like me and impatient. But +330, you'll probably get almost 4-1 if you count on the Celtics winning with this ragtag lineup. All right, Martin, which way are you going here?
I'm with Dave. I told you, Dave, back in the Eastern Conference playoffs, you said your NBA handicapping has been shit, and you were with the Miami Heat, and I pat you on the back, and I said, come on, let's go. Let's go on this ride. Let's go. We're right here. The Miami, this is a great team. The thing that does concern me, though, as you just outlined, Sal, the entire team's on the injury report. So that obviously, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, saying it with my chest as I would have about 20 minutes ago before Shams and Woj started tweeting like crazy. Right. But I think the biggest key for this game, and Dave talked to it a minute ago, it's Bam. And Bam plus Lowry. right? You look at Bam in the first two games, non-factor. Bam in the third game, what happened? Goes for damn near 30. Well, you got his point guard to give him the ball. If Lowry and Bam can play two-man, even without Jimmy Butler, this, because the thing is, Victor Oladipo, even though he hasn't been necessarily the most prolific scorer in, you know, the first two games of the series, he's still a guy that can go get some buckets. He's going to play good defense. And Miami, again, like, they are the type of team that's not dependent on just one person. But if Bam's more aggressive, I really like them in this series. Now, obviously, the injuries concern me a ton, because part of the reason why I like them, Miami, to me, is a deeper team. They could run out 8, 9, 10 guys and feel good about it, where the Celtics really only want to play 6.
Can I tell you something? This is how screwed up the, like, handicapping and these series have been. I was like in the pool for the first quarter Saturday. Yeah, that's right. I have access to a pool, not in my yard. I had to go to a hotel 2.5 hours away to get to one. But and I said to my wife, who was outside the pool and had her phone, I'm like, hey, will you just check on that Boston-Miami scores first quarter? And she's like, oh, 27-9. I was like, the Heat are winning, aren't they? She said, yeah. Which would have made no sense, right? Like, what? Right. Why would the Heat be winning the game for the Celtics at home when it's 1-1? It's like, no, that's just how stupid it is. And I didn't even go by her inflection or anything. She doesn't care. She's not trying to lead me astray. But that's how nuts it is. I mean, look, think about it, Martin. You would have taken, all right, Dallas has to win, down 0-2. I'm going to predict Luka goes off. Yeah, Luka went off. He had 40. And guess what? They came out really slow. Then Dallas took the lead, and then the Warriors blew them out in the third, and then held on in the fourth. But so
I don't have to imagine it. I did it. I took Mavericks minus 3.5.
So hard to bet these.
By the way, Bam and Kyle Lowry, when Marty mentions them as a combo, it is funny that they must be an intimidating duo to be dribbling towards the basket, because Bam has it covered height-wise, and Lowry has all the width. What has he been doing with his time off? I think we know what he's been doing. He's been doing a lot of what Zeke Elliott likes to do, and that's shoveling cereal into his
mouth. Like it. A lot of ham.
He's heavy set.
A lot of John ham.
Dave, you got the point guard position is still one of the few that you can be fat in sports and have success. The short, fat point guard can still cook every so often. Look at Kyle Lowry.
In 2022, I guess so. Kyle Lowry is proving that point. What's interesting about the injury reports, though, is how they vary from sport to sport. In the NFL, it is batten down or shame the devil. You cannot jive anybody about where you're putting a guy on the. If he's doubtful, he better not play, and you know all that kind of stuff. They monitor that in the league very closely. In the NHL, at the exact same time, they're like, upper body injury. Like, well, but is it his shoulder or is it his head? Like, upper body. That's all we can tell you about
it. Right.
And then the NBA is somewhere in between. So I don't know. We're wagering whether or not Butler and Lowry are actually out there, and we're kind of going off of what our favorite sports are. Like, if you're an optimist and you think Butler's going to be out there, then I think the Heat is a good play.
Yeah, I think you're a good play. Shay, I think it's different. They is or are. Yeah, it's tough. They should just add the yes. You're right. But they, I think questionable in football now means something different than questionable in basketball. I mean, we all thought Marcus Smart was going to play that first game, right? Was that game one? When he and Hoffer, and then Hoffer, they were both out, right? Being COVID and Smart. But yeah.
I feel like that was two. But yeah, anyway.
Is it two? I can't even keep track anymore. But anyway, I'm going Boston minus 9.5. You know, when they win big for the most part. 25, 28, 13. They had an 8 in there and 23. So 4 of the last 5 have been by 9.5 or more.
One thing, and this goes to, before you move on, Harry had this as a TikTok play of the day, and it made me think. I know, right? But Jason Tatum under, I believe it was 27.5. If you look at the guys who played for Team USA, like Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, right? They've all kind of had second, third round struggles. It's just an interesting thing to see Tatum through the first two games, first three games of the series, how he's played versus how he's played in his last.
I just don't know when there's a time period where it looks like they've forgotten how to dribble. And Tatum was one of them. It happened to Kevin Durant, too, at the end of that Nets-Celtics series. And I just like, what the hell is going on? So that's why you can't rely on really anything these NBA playoffs. But This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers could step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. And with FanDuel, same-game parlays, you can turn little bets into big paydays. Just sign up, place your first bet. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. No better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Parlay insurance. Oh, good God. This is great stuff. One of the reasons I love betting on FanDuel. It has great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code EXTRAPOINTS to start with your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. And if you do that, Sheck, if you download the app, you will see, like you pointed out, my fat head promoting what I referred to right earlier as the same game parlay. There it is. The Mets win. David Peterson, three or more strikeouts. Brandon Nimmo will record a hit, and there will be over 6.5 runs. You'll get about 4-1 odds on that. Mets, San Francisco Giants. Go Mets. They've done well in the opening games in these series. Thank you, Buck Showalter. Thank you, Mets. Mets, Peterson, three or more strikeouts. Nimmo to record a hit. Over 6.5 total runs. Let's give out our plays of the day. Martin, you start us off. You got baseball too, right?
I am going with the baseball play. I'm going with Gerrit Cole, under 8.5 strikeouts. 9Ks is a lot. He's only hit the number 3 in his last 8 starts. And so that's pretty much all I got. I like it.
There you go. I'll quickly throw in another baseball in there, even though I got a same game parlay. Blue Jays, even odds. The Cards beat up on a minor league team yesterday. We'll get to that because John Hamm is, I guess, now really in the waiting room. Yeah, they beat him 18-4. It's like playing a 5-year-old in Hangman and then thinking you're an expert. Now, Berrios struggled a little this season. Last pitch Tuesday against the Mariners, 7 scoreless. He makes his move back towards mediocrity. Bo Bichette, 6 homers, team high, 400 slugging percentage. I think the Jays take over the Cards. Sheck, real quick, we got Ham waiting. What's your pick?
Well, I think you're absolutely right with your shots at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well deserved, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they impugn the name City of Champions by their existence at this point, and I hope that Yadier Molina starts against the Pirates next time. That's the kind of shaming they need to wake up and start spending like Major League Baseball teams. In the meantime, I'm going with the two favorites, Lightning, Avs. 2-team parlay, plus 188, juices it up a little bit for you. I like that.
Beautiful. All right, let's bring him in. All right, this is special. Our guest is an Emmy, Golden Globe, and most importantly, fantasy football winning actor who stars in the new movie Top Gun Maverick, the pride of St. Louis. Let's give a big old Gloria shout out to John Hamm. What's happening, Hamm?
Hi, guys. Exciting times. Here we are. We're living, and we're living through some exciting times.
Yeah. Well, we're barely living through it, but yes. And I should point out, you're basically zooming in here to taunt Dave because your Cardinals beat his Pirates 18-4 yesterday. Was that the final count?
It was 18-4. I think that it was, they got mercy rule, David. That was,
you're not
going to
get me down. Listen, Ham, I hope, I just said, I hope that to shame the Pirates, that Yadier Molina starts the next game. That's the only thing. Like, I mean, they've really got to go far because apparently Pirates ownership refuses to wake up and spend money like a Major League Baseball team should.
I would like to ask you when the last time you were excited about the Pirates was. I'm going to go with 2013, maybe, when the Cardinals bounced them out of the playoffs.
Quite some time. But listen.
Well, listen, he was excited when they scored 4 runs in the 9th yesterday to cut it to 18-4. That must have been, you weren't getting shut out. That was pretty
good. Take that, Yadier Molina. Don't bring that weak-ass crap at us now. Listen, more importantly right now, your St. Louis Blues are battling. Yes. I feel like that people, you know, listen, if they lose tonight, then I guess this point is invalidated. But do you feel like COVID or whatever else got in the way of the St. Louis Blues, and there's a fair amount of disrespect for their place in these playoffs here? I mean, the Avs are, people assume, are going to walk past them or skate past them, as it were, but the Blues won the Stanley Cup, and they still have many of those core guys still there. What's your excitement level now for your team?
It's very high. I think you're correct. I think that there is a ridiculous underestimation of how good this Blues team is and has been for some time. You know, COVID happened, and it was unfortunate. The people forget that Blues were leading the league in points when the lockdown happened. I, in fact, went to the Blues game in Anaheim the day before the world stopped, and the Blues like cleaned the floor with Anaheim. They beat them, I think, 4-1 or something. It was a great game. So it was unfortunate, you know, and I think that you're correct in saying that that this team has a tremendous amount of those core players still there. They have a tremendous amount of experience. I think people are essentially giving this series to the Avalanche, and I think they're giving them the entire Stanley Cup. And as we've seen, those of us who actually enjoy watching hockey, we've seen things like this happen before. We saw it with the Lightning a few years back when they won the President's Trophy and then got swept out of the first round by the Columbus Blue Jackets. It was like, you know what? You have to win 4 games. That's how it works. That's the rule. They don't give it to you if you win 1. They don't give it to you if you're really good. You just have to win 4 games.
Actually, I'm reading. They just changed that rule. The Avs are advancing with 2 wins. Yeah, 2-1. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. It sucks for Blues fans. Hey, I do want to say, big Blues fans, obviously the Blues rallying song is Gloria. Do you think, in your estimate, I have to give this some thought, if she were still alive, do you think you would have had sex with Laura Branigan by now? I think you would have had to, right?
When, though? You know, in the 80s when I was 13.
All right, that's a great thing. Like, yes. When do you guys cross over? What's your crossover year? You and Laura Branigan, because you're too young in the 80s, probably.
Exactly.
Right?
I would have had to have been of age.
Yes. Okay.
Then we're dealing with several state and local statutes.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know, honestly. I will tell you the video for Gloria. And her follow-up hit, which is now escaping my brain.
Solitaire?
Solitaire.
I'm not going to sing it.
She had a second hit. I wasn't aware. I'd like to think, though.
Self-control.
Self-control.
I think for St. Louis sports fans, under the arch, it's Branigan, it's Ham, and the Cup making their love with every citizen gathered round cheering.
It's very sad this can't happen now. I think 98 would have been your sweet spot for that to happen. You guys to
fair enough over. That sounds good. I would have been I don't know, but 27. I was fairly fit. All right, yeah. Fine. Okay. 98.
I do want to talk about this movie, Top Gun Maverick. Was it you know, was it weird? You know, first of all, now you're the second best looking guy in this film. Is that weird for you just in general?
Well, thank you for, first of all, saying second. There's a lot of handsome.
Miles Teller.
There's a lot of handsome in this movie.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was as weird as it was for me, it must have been 10 times weirder for Tom Cruise, because I remember walking on the set and looking around, and he came up to me, hey, welcome to the show, you know, all this stuff, and incredibly kind and friendly. But I was like, this has to be like a time warp for you. Like, you're in the same set in the same costume, essentially 35 years displaced. Like, how weird is that? He's like, you know, it is weird, but I love my job. And I was like, well, that's a great attitude to have. Like, if you love your job, it's not that weird.
Yeah. Did you get to go in the simulators, or you didn't have to worry about that? I watched my cousin Jimmy interviewing all the, you know, and they're all saying, yeah, we vomited, one vomit story after another. You didn't have to go do that, did you?
No, I didn't. That's where my 50 years of experience on the planet actually came into play, because I was very much I don't like vomiting. I didn't want to go do 5 and 4.5 months of training. had it been required, I would have most likely done it, but I did not.
So that's good news. That's good Hollywood inside stuff. So
he doesn't
Tom
like
Cruise
vomiting.
Comes up and talks to you. Yeah. He doesn't like no eye contact from
this. Nicest guy on set, like, and wants to know everything about you. What are your hobbies? What do you like doing? Nice. Yeah. He's a friendly fella. As I think, Dave, you were probably there, and and Sal.
Right.
Jimmy's that one day when Tom came over to watch football. We were all like, is this happening? Like,
oh, it was the greatest. Listen, I was literally, this is the exact view I had. I'm talking to John Hamm in one of his old ball caps. It happened to be a St. Louis Blues cap that day. I'm literally talking to John Hamm about hockey and whatever, and over his shoulder, a glow came from down the hallway and then emerged in a black pea coat with a black turtleneck underneath. The most handsome man I've ever seen, with the possible exception of the guy I was talking to at the time. It was Tom Cruise. What a day that was.
And he brought a coconut cake, which is what I was focused on, a giant coconut cake for no reason.
Coconut cake, buddy. That's the real deal.
So, Dave, I'm curious at that point, so John Hamm was the second most attractive man on the Top Gun set. How low did you rank in level of attractiveness at that football watching party?
Third.
After Tom Cruise came in.
Third, but taste it. You know, it's like comedy. You know, it tastes as subjective. Maybe I was two or even number one for some reasons. I don't know. I can't judge.
Ham,
to be fair, the only lady there I think was Kathy Griffin. So
yes, you know, that's it wasn't. Right.
We're not a lot of ladies there.
She was there every Sunday. I don't know.
And
how
Tom's
that
mom.
Happened. Yeah.
That's right. Hey, Cruz's mom was there.
Oh, yeah.
Mom Cruz.
You play Admiral Cyclone. I wonder, what did you channel a coach or a manager in sports, past or present, that you can compare yourself to, that you tried to take off of?
Not particularly, but what I really did was, like, you know, it's a fun role, honestly, to be the guy that's like, hey, man, you got to, you know, shape up or ship out kind of guy. Especially to Tom Cruise, it was pretty fun, and the writing in the script is actually really good. There's some really kind of unintentionally funny moments that we were able to find, and we just had a really good time making that movie, and then we had a really unfortunate time sitting on it for 2 years because of COVID. But it was awesome that Tom and everybody involved in the production was like, we're not going to like put this on a streaming platform. We're going to make sure this comes out in IMAX and Dolby and all of the things that like make it a big giant, you know, movie that it should be. And I've now had the good fortune to see it a couple times with an audience, and it's been so exciting. Like, people are genuinely stoked when they, when the movie starts, and then when the movie finishes, they're like, yeah, it's like a visual high five. Like,
well, they probably were worried they were going to see you vomit, and then it didn't happen. It's like, okay.
And then it didn't happen. They were like, the relief is so, very...
To be honest, if it didn't happen in Mad Men, it wasn't going to happen in any movie, right?
I think it might have happened in Mad Men.
Did it really?
It'd be cool if you would have blended like the Iron Eagle effect of Jason Gedrick and you had to play Gloria when you flew your FAT.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm in the group calling Gloria. You know, that would be cool if you would have done that. But you mentioned, I mean, you got to play obviously one of the most iconic characters of this millennium in Draper. But you mentioned walking onto that set. Was that a singular trip for you? Obviously, you've been acting for quite some time now. But Top Gun, I mean, you grew up watching it with the rest of us, right?
Yeah. 15 years old when I was 15. You know, seeing that movie was the definition of cool, and like walking onto that set. I'm not kidding when I say this. This is my experience walking onto a active military base, a hangar that says, you know, Top Gun, you know, Fighter Weapons School, North Island Naval Base. There's a 2-story American flag hanging. There's 2 F-18s parked kind of like this. And Tom Cruise walks up and shakes your hand. I was like, I guess I'm in Top Gun. Like, this is clearly the thing. It's like so exciting.
Do you let him know who's boss by saying something like, though, like, just so you know, I was always more of an Iceman guy.
Yeah, no, I did not do that. Okay. It was very much, you know, I will say this about Tom, and it's you guys know, having met him, it is a singular experience meeting a movie star like that, because he's very aware that he is a movie star, but he's also very kind. Like, he's a friendly person, and that kind of energy is very nice to be around. So no, I didn't do the Trump thing where you shake hands and like pull your hand in, or there were no games. I did not employ any gamesmanship. It was just very, very, I was very humbled and happy to be a part of the experience.
You just mentioned that, you know, you didn't want Top Gun to come out on streamers, and I get that. You want people to go see it in the movies, but is it personal between you and Apple TV? Because, you know, you had the What About Ham commercial, and I was in agreement. Like, Don Draper's my favorite TV character of all time, so I was like, where is he at? Hey, that's a fact. I told Scott Holmes that years ago. But
really?
I just felt you would have been perfectly cast as one of the people who was, like, running the severance office. Not one of the people who worked there, like, was coming in and out, but one of the people who was running it. I felt you would have been perfect for that. So I just need to know, is it actual beef between you and Apple TV, or is that...
At this point, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
There's no other logical explanation. Yeah.
Yeah, I never met Steve Jobs. Rest in peace. I don't, you know, I enjoy apples. I have an iPhone. I don't know what, yeah,
like,
I don't
are
know
you
what.
You want a Windows or something? Like, what's going on?
Exactly. That's not, I don't know. I have to get on the Google platform.
You won't ever get on Twitter, huh? I mean, good for you at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I was fortunate enough to, like, get famous right before all that stuff happened.
Yeah.
Like, Twitter started in 2007 and Instagram in like 2010. And I was like, I don't know, this seems like a lot of work that I don't get paid for. So I was kind of like, I'd rather do the jobs that I get paid for.
Makes sense.
And also, as we've seen, whether it's Kevin Hart or fill in the blank, literally at this point, fill in the blank, it just feels like an unnecessary way to get yourself in trouble that nobody really needs.
Yeah, you're running across four lanes of traffic every single day.
Yeah, every day.
It's stupid.
Like, what's the point?
Well, a way to get yourself into trouble is to join in a fantasy football league in which, actually, we joined it prior to the diabolical Sal decided that we should punctuate each season with the champion kicking out somebody at the start of the next season. You won the last season.
I did.
So finally. That means you have kick out privileges.
I do.
You know, Sal likes to wager. Marty likes to wager. Any leanings here or there that you might?
I know exactly who's leaving.
Do you?
Really?
Wow.
You made your determination.
Yeah. Trevor and I have already discussed it.
Really? So Trevor's your part. You guys won. And so, it would seem that it would be easy just to kick out the person who lost the trophy. That would be, and Dave lost the trophy.
This is ugly. Right? You're going to use this space now to try and convince him. He said, what are you going to talk about?
That might not be the way
now?
To go. I'm saying, I wonder if he has other thoughts. So you really know right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's,
can you give us a clue as to will there be a.
No,
a
Ham's already hoisted the greatest trophy of them all, the Stanley Cup. He's literally drank from the Stanley Cup.
He didn't lose it, though. You didn't lose it, right? When you had it in your
mist, that dumb trophy.
You didn't put it in your trunk and lose it like Dave did?
No, I didn't. I did not lose the trophy like Dave did.
Oh, okay.
I did drink from the cup. I drank Bud Light out of the Stanley Cup from the Bud Light brewery in St. Louis, Missouri. I hoisted the cup underneath the Gateway Arch. I've had a lot of trophy moments. It was very exciting. You know, but I will say that this is up there. This is exactly when in fact, and I may or may not be there. I might be working. I'm not sure what.
Oh, stop! Will you be there already?
But, listen. Listen, I've been on the other end. I've been on the receiving end of being bounced out of the league.
You have,
as you both know, I came
and he drank a Bud Light there too.
He did.
Bud Light's always there.
You were late because I believe it was the first episode of Mad Men that you were directing.
Yes, I was directing. I came in hot from directing the show. Opened my laptop, was informed that. You're out. Closed my laptop and finished my beer.
It sucks. It's a terrible ride home, right? And we can make fun of it, but it just sucks.
Six foot four, bald-headed, 140-pound weakling Elliot kicks out the most desired man on the face of the earth.
And don't kiss
Don
his
Draper.
Ass now.
Don Draper walks in like, what I miss, guys? We're waiting for you for the kick-out rule. All right, let's do this. Who's out? It's you, Ham. You were mad. Perfect. You were mad for 20 seconds.
You had, right? Well,
yeah, I would say 10. I wouldn't even say 10. I'd say 5. It was like, no. Oh, all right. Well, okay.
Does it involve a competition, or is it just straight out you have in your mind right now, you know who's going to get kicked out?
No, I know who's getting kicked out. And this is scary. I don't know. The reveal might be.
So I got a question. Yeah. So when somebody gets kicked out, is it complete banishment, or do they have to still get all the emails and all the messages?
No, they're out. They actually have to be deleted from the site for this to work. So they can't like check up on the standings or anything.
So yeah, has anybody like just been like, all right, you're kicking me out, I'm done?
Bill Simmons did that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But he had to convince him to come back. Ham, you could kick him out. That'd be funny.
Please kick me out. I hate this league. I don't want to be doing it anyway. Kick me out.
See, he might be going that route. All right. I know you got to go, John. Thank you for
coming on. I do have to go.
All right. I do what, but you did bring a clip from the movie Top Gun Maverick, right? You didn't bring a clip?
No.
Oh.
No.
Can you quickly act out a 3-second scene in lieu of a clip?
No.
Okay.
The there question is, was that a three? Was that a 3-second scene?
Or? I think that was 3 seconds. He probably says no at some point.
Yeah, at some point I do say no.
Top Gun Maverick. It is this Friday, right? The 27th.
Yeah, Friday the 27th. Go see it, big and loud IMAX if you can. It's the best movie this summer. You're gonna love it.
Muzzle yeah, you're gonna love all it. The great reviews.
Very exciting. I will go.
Thank you, David.
Martin will go, and Sheck will go, despite the fact that he's getting kicked out the last week in August or early September, one way or another.
Oh, please kick out Sheck. He lost the trophy.
Thanks, Ham. Come I on, appreciate it.
You. Love you guys.
All right.
Thanks for having
Take care,
me.
Pal.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Good times.
Go Blues.
All right, John Ham. There he
you
is.
You gotta give Sheck. Him credit. He legit. He is not one of these people who like. Yeah, I like the St. Louis Blues when they're good. He can go deep with Harold Snaps and Bernie Federko and all the rest of it. He was living and dying with them when they were in the Checker Dome in 1980 like real fans are.
Well, now we have that uncomfortable few seconds where he won't get off the Zoom and we have to continue to say, oh, there he is. Yeah. Okay, there you go. He's gone.
I thought it was fascinating that he walks into Tom Cruise's area at the start, and he's the one that's shocked. You know, like, I mean, how do you know that Tom Cruise was like, yo, that's Don Draper, bro? Like, right. What's going on?
Martin,
Tom Cruise
that was
never
cool.
did that.
That was cool meeting him, right?
Yeah, it was. It was. I had some more questions to ask, but I didn't want to, you know, but I'm just so not into the hockey. So
it gets like, crazy. I know.
And maybe at some point we'll be able to reconvene at another time. Like maybe, hopefully the Cardinals go on a run or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure. There'll be a Top Gun 3, I think, probably at the beginning of the year. They just pump these things out like the Star Wars movies.
Well, we're trying to modify the rules of basketball. Maybe you should modify your fandom. And if these NBA playoffs versus NHL playoffs don't convince you to switch over to the frozen sport, I don't know what will. You know, I always used to, I said this to Ham a while ago. Is he one of the three best smokers in movie history?
Oh, absolutely. He makes cigarettes look so cool. Like, seriously, that's one of the things. He looks so fucking cool on TV that, like, I 100% agree.
Well, the problem is some of the best smokers and the most smoking was done before our time, right? I say Humphrey Bogart. I don't even know for a fact at him. But in that era, right, it's probably when they did it the most.
Well, Marilyn I just Monroe. Was watching. I just watched A Fistful of Dollars. I was talking to Meatballs about this a couple of days ago. But A Fistful of Dollars with Clint Eastwood. He's smoking the whole time.
Yeah,
it's something about it. It looked forced. Like it looked like he was trying to smoke the whole time. And I was like, I get it that you know you want to be you know smoking your you know chiefing, but it's just like it felt like he was actively trying to puff and puff and puff and puff and puff. Whereas like when Don Draper was in Mad Men, it just felt like I don't know. He felt like a more natural smoker.
Yeah. Draper was great. Johnny Sack, I would say, from The Sopranos. Sheck.
Yeah, he had it was a very particular kind of thing he had.
Well, and
it
also because he had a little bit of a lisp, too. I think that helped. I don't know, whatever he would say after the puff would be.
I
don't know. It was more important for some reason. It felt more important than anything.
Marty, Sal's biased. I'm biased. Did you pick up any tells there from Draper? Did he seem to show?
He got
his
serious
hand
when
there?
We talked about Simmons. He's like, oh, shit. But I don't know.
Yeah, that seems like I mean, here's the tough part. You're dealing with an award-winning actor. So how do I know he wasn't acting at these times? You know,
because
it felt when you mentioned the sports guy, it did seem to go from a place of more levity to a little bit more grounded, more serious.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he was just, you know, getting ready to, you know, just trying to throw us off the scent. Damashek, I'd be worried if I were you, because he did come out in the beginning. I mean, Sal did set him up for it, but the first like 30 seconds of that were pretty anti-Damashek out of Ham. So I'd be concerned.
I think we're the top three, Shaq. Me, you, and Simmons.
I get it's yeah. Listen, he is, what is going on in his brain is what is the funniest one.
Right.
So which is the funniest if you can see it through his eyes. I don't know. Which do you think is the funniest?
You're Sal's asking Martin?
Say not himself. No, I'm saying to you.
Which one
do you think is the funniest?
I don't know. Probably me, because I started this dumb rule in a way.
Well, that's why you got my vote when I had the chance two years ago.
No, we'll get into that. But another time, why you voted me out. But you and others. But all right, let's talk these NHL playoffs. Ham's team is down 2-1 to the Avs. That's one of the games tonight. Is the other one? Oh, Tampa Bay. So they're going back to back. Tampa Bay, they played yesterday, right?
Yeah, why? It's pure, you know, network scheduling.
I like it, though. I like it when it schedules. It's in favor of the fan. I mean, why not? So
they're up 3-0 on the Panthers. On a back-to-back night? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Panthers enjoy it. You know, I typically wouldn't enjoy it, but given that the series is now 3-0 Lightning, let's just get this crap over with and move on. I hate it. I don't like the one wish I have going forward is that the Lightning don't win the cup. If they get three straight, then they will be heralded as the best team of the millennium. And obviously I have a rooting interest against that happening.
Well, I think that's I'm not going to say it's a foregone conclusion, but I'm very much into. I had them at 11-1. I know Meatballs took them beginning before the playoffs, I believe. But right now, let's take a look real quick. Stanley Cup, Avs are +170, Lightning second. Wow, Lightning +280. Imagine that, +280, like 600 before the series. This series, now they're 280. Hurricanes 450, Edmonton 9-1, Calgary 950, Rangers 20-1, Blues, 30-1, Panthers 30-1. Spaghetti, how do you feel about your Rangers? They're down 2-1. They closed the gap yesterday. You feel they should be up 2-1. This surprised me.
Well, that game one's frustrating, but I'm not feeling too bad because, I mean, the Hurricanes literally are the worst road playoff team in these playoffs. They're the only team that's not won a game on the road. So, I mean, obviously with game four being in the Garden, I feel pretty good about the Rangers' chances to even this thing up 2-2. And then obviously game five, the Rangers got to win one on the road here to get advantage in the series. But I feel pretty good. They played a decent game three. The series is far from over.
You know, I have to say, I wasn't watching it did seem like, in the way the Rangers sort of dominated game one, I thought the Hurricanes dominated yesterday. Was I wrong? I mean, they definitely outshot them.
They had a lot of shots. Yeah, you're right. They had over 40 plus shots on them. I mean, not every shot. I mean,
yeah, 44, 44-33. All right.
Yeah, shots are a weird stat in hockey because sometimes you want to force shots on the net, especially if they're taking shots from the outside the circles and you have a goalie like Shesterkin, it's fine. Now, depending on how many of those shots are actually high scoring chances, that's the problem. So there was not many of those for the Hurricanes, and the Rangers had actually better scoring chances than they did. But yeah, you don't want to see 40 plus shots. But
giveaway is 35-11. That's a good stat, right?
Usually. Faceoffs too were an issue in the earlier games. The Rangers pretty much traded shots for faceoffs in this one. It was a way more open game than the original, like the previous games, because the Rangers were allowing more on offense for the Canes as well. So it was a way more open game, more fun game to watch. But like I said, I feel pretty good about game four at home.
I can't believe that the Canes have short odds and the Rangers have long odds. They're basically, as far as I'm concerned, the survivor of that series has equal shot at making a run all the way to the final and maybe winning it. What's bad, though, for whoever survives that series is if the Lightning get to put their feet up. If they finish this series now, the knock on them from me and many other people is the wear and tear of three straight long postseasons tends to grind teams down. If the Lightning get to take a nice rest for a week and watch whoever they're going to get to play in the final, that's not great stuff probably for whoever survives that one. Cause it's a, you know, it's a rugged series going on between those two teams, the Canes and the Rags.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There shouldn't be that much of a discrepancy, plus 450 to 20 to one, but I know the Canes weird. Being up 2-1 is a little, speaks to a little of that, but shouldn't be that much. All right. So Sheck is taking both favorites tonight. Oh, you didn't mention it to Ham that you were going against his team. Did you, tonight? Yeah.
No, drop him a line. Kick him out.
You're let him know.
Kick him out, Dick Whitman.
You're both favorites. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to jump on the riverboat. Oh, my goodness. Talk about getting seasick and vomiting in movies. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, so PGA Championship was fun yesterday. I don't know if you guys watched. It was lame the first 3 days, and then this Mito Pereira. He blew it. Poor kid out of Chile. Enters the 18th hole. He had a one-stroke lead and hits the water. Doesn't even make it to the playoff. The playoff is between Justin Thomas and Zalatoris, Will Zalatoris. Thomas wins the PGA Championship. He opened on FanDuel at 16-1. Sunday morning, he was 36-1. A lot of people were like tweeting me their JT bets. Oh, I had him plus 450 on 17. I had him 45-1. I had him to make the top 20, and I was nervous because he shanked a tee shot on 6. I was like, oh, God. I might not make top 20. He's only the 2 strokes out of the top 20. But he ends up winning the whole thing. And, Sheck, you brought up last week the problem with the Heat, and specifically Jimmy Butler, as to why he may not be as big a star as he maybe should be, is because his name is too blasé. And now we have a guy named Justin Thomas, not a guy named, he's one of the better golfers getting into this, wins the PGA Championship. It got the captain of the Riverboat Casino thinking about names and who's the greatest, most commonly named, that's first and last named, athlete. Is it Michael Jordan at minus 450? He put odds on this. He's a nut. Michael Jordan, minus 450. Tom Brady, 2-1 odds. Jim Brown, 7-1 odds. Joe Louis, 12-1 odds. Or the field at plus 160. Martin, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Now, let's play it by the phone book test, okay? So if you're going to go field, you have to at least pick a name that, like Michael Jordan, I looked it up. In Southern California, there are hundreds of Michael Jordans, so in the phone book. Now, Martin, when I say phone book, you know what that is? That's before your time. It was a big, heavy book that you could, like, you actually use as a weapon, and it had people's names and where they lived in their phone numbers.
So what we used to do with the phone book is whenever there would be a storm in the Gulf, and growing up in Louisiana, you would take the phone book and you put it under the kitchen table, just in case you got water in your house and you wouldn't ruin your table. You put it under your couch.
Is that right? Wow.
Yep. That's what you would do with the phone book. But in terms of using it to actually look up numbers or anything like that, nah, not so much. But
you know, that's an interesting thing you brought up in terms of like devices and props and stuff like that. A phone book is probably used more not for its intentional purpose, right? Like a phone book, kids sit on the phone book. So you're higher at the table, right? Lift the table right there. You could use it as a weapon. I think, Sheck, I think Tony Siragusa used to bang his knee with a phone book to loosen up cartilage so he could sit out training camp. Does that sound familiar to you? I almost remember him saying that.
That kind of sounds right. Or he maybe ate several dozen phone books in August.
Yeah.
So that he didn't have to do that either. If you look at the results, hard to argue. You know, your pal Michael Irvin does some parlor trick with phone books. Have you ever seen him take one and rip it in half?
No, really?
Oh, it's quite a thing.
Yeah, test of strength, too. That's another use of wow, he could do it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got those giant meat hooks. Yeah, he can rip that thing apart. Now, most mundane name would be Jim Brown, but if you contextualize it, he is Mr. Brown. He is the greatest Cleveland Brown of all time, so it kind of makes it cool for an otherwise pedestrian name.
I see.
I guess Joe Louis is cool, the Brown Bomber. Some other candidates for you. You'll be surprised to learn. I have a lot of thoughts on these things.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to say this. The greatest name of all is Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
That's the coolest name in history. And Muhammad Ali ain't bad either. Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Tiger Woods is a golfer. Woods, Tiger Woods is great. Mm-hmm. Johnny Unitas is a great football name. And Mario Lemieux. Lemieux literally translates.
So if the captain had asked, what's the coolest name? This would be great conversation.
This would be great. Flavor. Guess what? I mean, it's great conversation anyway.
Okay.
Lemieux translates into the best. Now, what could have been the best name is if you took Dick Butkus and Whitney Merciless's name and combined them, then you would have Dick Merciless. That would be a great
pretty
name.
Good. Now, again, not passing our phone book test, which we established early on, which is what you'd have to see.
A great one, a forgotten all-time
also,
Sal, great.
Nor is it a real person.
I think the captain's about to throw you headfirst off this riverboat check.
Randy Johnson deserves a shout-out for this because that's a terrible name, and he's a guy who gets left off of the greatest starting pitchers of all time lists, too, so he deserves a shout-out. But I'm going to go with an entire position group. Pass rushing defensive linemen. The all-time greats. If you say, who's the Mount Rushmore or whatever? It's Aaron Donald, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Joe. That only thing that saves David Jones and Joe Green is that they have cool nicknames. Mean Joe Green and David Jones is known to the world as Deacon Jones. But Aaron Donald, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, David Jones, these are terrible names. These are such snoozy names. So I'm going with that entire group is the worst name.
The question is best athlete with the most mundane
right, I'm
name.
Saying these are all Hall of Fame. These are the best so you're pass rushers seven. Of all time, and they all have terrible
all right,
names.
Thank
they
you for narrowing names. It from 45 to 7. I guess we should be happy, Martin.
I told you this would take a minute. Okay. Listen, I did it.
Go ahead, Martin. Man, you pick
Lord
one.
Have mercy.
Pick one,
everybody
please.
Take a deep breath after that. I'm taking the field. Michael Jordan is probably the answer. But the idea, sometimes, Sal, I lose money on these bets, but I make them out of principle. Like, Giannis should have been the MVP. I know. I get it. I lost money on that. I feel like, damn. But it just make me feel right. I want to be on the wrong. Cade Cunningham should have been rookie of the year. All right, boom. I still lose money on that. John Johnson, the Galveston Giant, the first heavyweight African-American world boxing champion, married a white woman in 1910. Right? Was one of the first, was the most popular and most notorious black figure pre-1920. He deserves odds on this list because John Johnson's about as normal as you can get. You Google John Johnson right now. Yeah. And he went by Jack, obviously, but there's John Johnson who plays safety right now, right? Okay, then you have Jack Johnson.
Right.
John Johnson, the third, play safety. Then if you want to go by Jack Johnson, what he was better known as, well, if you Google him, he comes up first, American singer, then American boxer.
That's
so
a good
John
answer.
John Jack Johnson.
And defenseman. Hockey defenseman.
You could have your own phone book just on John and Jack Johnson's probably. It would be probably pretty thick. All right, now you're both wrong and maybe even a little racist here in your answers, both of you, because you hit on boxer John Johnson. It's a trick question. The answer is Muhammad Ali. It's the most popular name in the world. Okay, you guys are all with the Americanized whatever. Muhammad Ali is the most popular name in the world and coincidentally the greatest athlete who ever lived. So there's your answer. See how I did that in like 15 seconds. Was that so hard? Thank you. All right.
Did you get there nervous you when captain. Damashek was dancing around it? But you know, you should have known because he was only about 2 minutes into his answer. So he had at least another 3.5 to
go. He did mention Muhammad Ali in there.
Check. But how many of Muhammad Ali's? Muhammad Ali, I forget what that translates into. It has meaning. But how many Muhammad Ali's did it increase when Muhammad Ali was the heavyweight champ? And how many Michael Jordans are there? There are a lot of Brady's in the New England. Brady whatever's in, you know, who are 20 years old or younger.
Right.
Because
you're
of
right.
Tom Brady.
It might have been because of it. Yeah. What did we miss, Babyface? What are you saying here?
Oh, I actually like Dave's idea of most boring position groups in history and the Lions wide receivers when they drafted like Mike Williams, Roy Williams, Charles Rogers, a lot of boring names.
Boy, that's Mike a weird Williams, one too. You're right.
Calvin
Johnson.
Nate Burleson. I guess that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Calvin Johnson. Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. See that? Wow. This is the captain really made us think about this. He really did. He doesn't normally do it, but Khalif Raymond. I don't know. I'm looking up Lions depth.
I'm trying to think of Brent Perriman.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. A little common. There you go. So that's it. The Riverboat Casino.
Herman Moore. Herman Moore. That's a pretty.
Herman Moore's a good one.
That's a paint company too, right? Isn't it Herman Moore? Or am I making that up?
No, something Moore. Dinty Moore's the stew. Yeah, I think Herman Moore's the paint. Yeah. So there
Sherman
you go.
Moore is the paint. That's what it is.
Oh, crap. We screwed it up. Well, I want to thank John Hamm for coming on. Top Gun Maverick. Go see it this Friday, May 27th. Sheck, I'm sorry about your Pirates. They lost 18-4. It's getting harder and harder for you to defend them. I mean, you don't try to. Well, here's the problem, though, Sheck.
Back off my defense.
This is where you might start getting upset. Because, and Martin, you know this, when a team is so horrific in the pros, they start comparing them to college teams, right? And so now you're about to hear Tennessee Volunteers versus Pittsburgh Pirates, who wins? And that might get your goat a little bit, right?
No, I always say, yes, the thing you can't wash the stink off of is when you're historically bad. Like, people justify, rationalize, like, I hope my team goes 0-16, 0-17. You don't want that. You don't want that because that plagues you. The Detroit Lions can go and win a Super Bowl next year. It'll be neat and everything, but they'll still have that O in the win column forever. That's embarrassing. Yes,
but they have the most boring named receivers to add to their
record. I think I would rather have, if I'm going to lose, I'd rather be prolific. I'd rather be known for historical losing. And then see how the Lions got a Super Bowl. First of all, Detroit would flip over. But just show you can go from worst to the best. Yeah. I don't know. It's just being in futility. Like I don't. That
interesting.
Sucks.
All right. See, there's two ways to look at it. But Martin, I know you were a proponent of stop with the nonsense of the college team beats the pro team, right? Because the college team has three pros.
Yeah. I mean, but the interesting thing is, Sal, in baseball, the gap between pro and college is too far. I think you have a real conversation is could some triple or double A teams beat the major league Pirates? That's, I know that obviously, Tennessee baseball has a bigger Q rating.
Yeah.
But could the Toledo Mud Hens beat the Pittsburgh Pirates?
That's a
question. That's why relegation would be awesome. Right. Of course, that would be great. How would the Pirates have, legitimately, which guys, Sal, your team is good, the Metropolitans.
Thank you.
Which Pirates would crack the starting lineup? Look at it in that regard and work backwards from there. How many guys from the best AAA team could crack the Pirates lineup? It's, the distance.
I guess that's the question for another time, but which sport is the gap the narrowest? Like, if you had a Fab Five team like Michigan, that's the closest you're going to get to a college team, I think, competing with a pro team. But even that team would get smoked, right? Same with football. Maybe you're right. Listen, maybe baseball. I don't know.
Right. What's the kid who with the famous pitching father? I can't think of who it was, who was one of the top prospects last
year. Patrick Mahomes. Pitching father.
Something like that. In MLB, Kumar Rocker and I forget. Al Leiter.
Oh, Leiter. Yeah.
Listen, obviously baseball hinges on who the starting pitcher is largely. So if you have some ace out there who these big leaguers have never seen before, you have a chance of getting through five or six innings relatively clean.
And as Babyface pointed out here in the chat, they'll still get an all-star, the Pirates, after all this. They have to dig. It'd be great to see a guy hitting 190 make the all-star team. I know they have a couple players, but there you go.
Bednar will probably make it, their close or somebody like that.
All right, listen, we got a big week ahead, right? We have Lemon Pepper Parlay. When are you doing that? Martin, tomorrow? Yeah, you and Mark Gunnels?
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow morning. Mark Gunnels is I got to eat some Luca. We'll both be eating Luca Crow, but me and him have been arguing about Andrew Wiggins for years. And to see Andrew Wiggins leading the Warriors into the Western Conference Finals in the moments that Steph Curry's just not doing it and watching Draymond freak out. I just hope the Miami Heat win. That's all I'm hoping for.
It's tough. What do we have? A couple more weeks of this. All right, Sheck, you have -3 coming up. Two action packed shows.
Correct. And we'll be revisited via tape with Matt Money Smith and Handsome Hank Hodgson. People enjoy listening to them. We went long when we talked to them last week, so we have some leftovers for you there. Plus, we're hoping to hear from our old pal, Kevin Hench, of course.
Yeah, there you go. That'll be later in the week. All right, we have Megan Fun of Sports. Megan Gailey coming back. Wow. What a baller. I mean, she gave birth like 3.5 hours ago, and she's back now joining Megan Connolly. That's Megan Fun of Sports. I think that's Wednesday, Covered in Glory. Later in the week, we're going to have Against All Odds, bunch of shows this week. And that'll do it for another episode of Extra Points. And I just want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please, please remember, you're all my favorites.